The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Wherever there was a sheltering, the aftermath was something special. Like, wow. God sheltered Jonah in a whale, and when he came out, he went to Nineveh and preached the greatest revival that's recorded in history.
Yeah.
Over and over again, that's what happens. So I don't know what God's going to do, but I do know what he's done, and I think he might do it again.
Dr. David Jeremiah offers hope to a world that's asking, where is God, when it feels like everything is falling apart? Next.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh. You know, whenever we walk through a crisis, it always seems that history reveals that God places certain men or women on the scene to speak to that, to bring comfort to the body. And I certainly know that that is true of my friend, Dr. David Jeremiah, whose new book, Shelter in God, Your Refuge in Times of Trouble, could not be more timely. Dr. Jeremiah, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Sheila, thank you for having me.
Oh, gosh, it's such a joy. 2020 is a year like no other. We haven't walked through something like this. When did you realize, you know what, I need to write this book?
Well, it's kind of an interesting thing because I had worked on these Psalms over the years, and I love the Psalms. Somebody once told me there's more tear stains on the book of Psalms than any other book in the Bible, and I think we all have discovered it now because the Psalms speak to all of our situations. And I was talking to our publisher one day, and we decided that maybe there was something we could say that would speak into the hurt. But really, if you want to know the truth, we got a call from New York City. And we have some friends there in the hotel business, and they were telling us that they were booking all these hotel rooms for people that came to help and people that were getting out of the hospital. And they wanted to know if I had anything we could put in the hotel room that they could read that would be an encouragement to them in the midst of this crisis. Those were some of the things that happened. And then the book just happened, and it set an all-time record for us because from start to finish, it was 4 weeks.
Oh my gosh!
So we were all kind of laughing. And when the publisher tells you they can't do it, don't believe them. They can.
I'll remember that. you and Donna have such a love for New York City, and this whole project, Shelter in God, is one of the most beautiful things. Because also at the end of the book, you include a plan of salvation. I mean, it'll be interesting. Only eternity will reveal the fruit of all of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sheila, the other night I was watching the news and they showed one of those pictures of Times Square with nobody there, just totally empty. It almost made me cry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've been there so many times. We've done those Christmas specials there and we've recorded a lot of our teaching sessions there. What's happened to that city is so sad. And yet it's... I think it's coming back and maybe back further than we thought it might even be by now. But we're so grateful that we have this opportunity in New York City because we're on television there, we're on the radio there, and now we've been able to place a book in the hands of many people who live there that hopefully is going to make a difference in their lives.
In your book, Shelter in God, you reflect a lot on the life and times of David. Did you see parallels between what David walked through and what we are walking through?
You know, a lot of people glorify David because they know about his great leadership as king and his son Solomon. And but David spent a lot of time as a fugitive. And 8 of his psalms, including several that are in this book, were written while David was running away from the jealousy of Saul, who wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
Saul had, at one time, had 30,000 of his soldiers, and they only had one objective, find David and kill him. And David was running, he was hiding, he was in despair. And some of the psalms he wrote during that time reflect a lot of the emotions many of us are feeling right now.
As a pastor, I wondered, what has it been like for you? Because I can't imagine Easter Sunday and you're not in church. How have you encouraged your own soul during this time?
Well, Sheila, you're absolutely right. There's a good side and a bad side of all of this. The good side is that every weekend now, I'm speaking to over 80,000 people, which I never have a chance to do. We do that through television, but not through the services of the church. But I'll be honest with you, when I get done speaking to an empty auditorium and I walk back into the green room, last week, I just looked at my friend back there and said, I don't think I can do this again.
Yeah.
It is so hard to do that.
Yeah.
When you're used to having people in front of you and you're so fired up about your material, mm-hmm. and those seats don't do anything for you. they just stare at you and they don't give you any hope or help. And sometimes you wonder, you know, is this even being heard by anybody? It's a very rare and... If you're a speaker and you've been preaching as long as I have, this is one of the hardest things I have ever done, and only by the grace of God can I keep doing it.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I know that my husband Barry and I, we watch you every week, and I know it has to be hard when you are speaking to an empty house, but God is taking your words and they are powerful. A lot of people are asking a question, what is God doing? When people ask you, what is God doing during this pandemic, Dr. Jeremiah, what do you say?
Well, for one thing, is he's one by one knocking out everything that we have depended on that we thought would bring us hope and happiness, and leaving us with the ultimate answer, which is God himself.
Wow.
I think that's a good thing, because we have become very self-satisfied and self-centered as a people. Even in the church, you know, it's about our buildings and our budgets and our programs and all of that. And all of a sudden, those are all gone.
Yeah.
And all we have left is God. And that is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I think if we come back and remember that, we will make sure that God stays centered in everything, because, you know, we have a tendency to get a lot of ourselves mixed up in the things God wants to do.
That's so true. You know, I noticed a couple of comments on my Facebook page the other night, and basically the kind of thread was, well, when we get through this, then I'll worship God again, and then I'll be grateful. Mm-hmm. But you address that in this book, and you talk about worshiping God while you're still in that difficult place.
You know, Sheila, one of the things that's just overwhelmed me, in fact, I sat down with Tobin Davis, who's our worship leader, and Michael Sanchez, who is our worship singer. And I told him, I said, you guys, I've been studying the Psalms over these last weeks, and I want to tell you something that's just really got a hold of my heart, that there is no place you can go where there isn't worship and praise. Last weekend, for instance, I talked about David in the cave of Adullam, and he's there with all of the offscouring of Israel. He's trying to get away from all of his problems, and he's stuck down there. And at the end of his journey in that cave, he has a time of worship.
Wow.
And Psalm 57 is the text of that worship. And it's the source of the hymn that we sing, I exalt you, O Lord. I can't imagine that.
Wow.
How did he do that? In the midst of the misery he was in, he praised God. But I'm learning more and more that that's not just accidental. That's on purpose. God wants us to learn that no matter what's going on around us, we can still lift up our hands in praise to him. And when we do, he's honored and we're helped. And that's a really good lesson to learn.
What have you seen God do in the midst of this pandemic?
You know what? Let me just tell you some things that have happened. First of all, when we began to speak we record it and speak on Saturday night, and it's then aired on Sundays, we just started having whole bunches of people come to Christ.
Wow.
The number's now somewhere close to 3,000 people who have indicated in in their response to us that they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And of course, I hear people say, well, you know, all those people didn't really trust Christ. I don't know if they did or not, but maybe, let's say half of them did. That's still a lot.
Yeah.
And I always tell these people, here's what I tell them, Sheila. All my life, I've heard people say, you know, those people that go down front in the Billy Graham Crusades, not all of those people are getting saved. And I say, you know what, that may be true, but everywhere I go, I just run into people who got saved at a Billy Graham Crusade. So, you know, I think a lot of people have come to Christ during this time when they have been isolated in their house, and they've watched and listened to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit has gotten a hold of them and changed their lives. And we're going to hear a lot of those stories going forward.
So
I think another thing... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think another thing that happened to us is we decided we wanted to try to help the people in our community, and we started a food program.
Wow.
And every Friday, we've been feeding 1,000 people. We've been giving them boxes of food and produce and milk and bread. And it's really had a great impact upon our community. But more than that, it's had an enormous impact upon our people who've come voluntarily and given their Friday afternoons to distributing food. And now they're coming on Thursdays to pack the boxes because we're doing it all now ourselves. And you know, the Bible says we're to love God with all our hearts and our neighbors as ourselves, and we're getting to do that in ways that we weren't doing it before.
That's beautiful. That's a powerful, powerful thing. You have, there's a little video on your Facebook page. Really, it's the introduction to shelter in God, and it's one of the most powerful things that I have seen, because you basically talk about throughout Scripture what God does when he shelters his people in place. Tell us about putting that video together.
Well, I had a lot of people say to me during this time, Dr. J, what do you think is going to happen after this is over? And of course, I don't know what they think I am. I tell them that I'm not a prophet nor the son of the prophet, even though I have a prophet's name. But the thing I began to realize as I started to think through this, and I did this one night, late at night, I was laying in bed thinking about it. How many times in the Bible it appears that God sheltered people? He took them aside, and I began to make a list of them, like Noah and the Ark, and David in Chaldea, and all of the different things all through the Bible. And then there's like 25 of them.
Yeah.
And I chose the most powerful ones and ended up with Almighty God sheltering his son in a tomb for 3 days, and he came out to bring salvation to the world. The interesting thing about all of this was, wherever there was a sheltering, the aftermath was something special. Like,
wow.
God sheltered Jonah in a whale, and when he came out, he went to Nineveh and preached the greatest revival that's recorded in history.
Yeah.
Over and over again, that's what happened. So at the end of it, I said, I don't know what God's going to do, but I do know what he's done, and I think he might do it again.
Wow.
And that's what happened. And you're right about that video. It just went viral. Here's the coolest thing about it. I have a friend in India named Satish Kumar, and he's the pastor of the Calvary Church in Hyderabad, which is, if not the largest, one of the largest churches in the world. And I preached for him last year. First time ever in my life, probably the only time, I preached to 100,000 people in one day.
Wow.
They have 5 services beginning at 5:30 in the morning, and they fill every space. It's just one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Well, he called me and said, hey, you know that little video? It's going viral in India. I said, oh, my goodness, how great is that? And so, you know, those are just some of the things that happen during a time like this. Mm-hmm. God does things so totally out of the box that you just can't even express it.
Yeah. And people, if you haven't watched it yet, you need to go to Dr. Jeremiah's. Is it on the Turning Point page?
Well, you can get it on YouTube. If you want to get it the best way, just go to Shelter in God, David Jeremiah, or Shelter in God YouTube, and it'll pop up. It's there, and you can watch. It's four minutes and 50 seconds.
4 minutes. There's not a lot of good news out there these days, but it's so inspirational, uplifting. It's fantastic. Now, I have to be honest with you. For the first 2 weeks of this shelter in place, I stayed in my pajamas and binged watched the Great British Baking Show on Netflix. And then I began to realize that I could just survive during this time, or that we could redeem the time. And I'm just wondering, what do you have to say to people who are at home and they're just lonely? You know, they just feel cut off and lonely.
Oh, you're talking about staying in your pajamas. I read about one guy said he had his daytime pajamas and his nighttime pajamas. You know, and I know a lot of people have done that. And, you know, at first I think we all didn't know exactly how to do it. But I found out pretty quickly if I was going to survive emotionally and mentally, I needed a schedule for every day. Wow. I needed to work harder planning my day, how I was going to spend it, what I was going to do. And Donna and I worked together at that. We didn't do it perfectly. I mean, I'll tell you the truth, as you know, Sheila, going to the store was a big deal at the first.
Oh, yeah.
How do you plan that? How do you get food? And so we tried to structure our day with meaning. And I remember one day we just, you know, everything was closed down and we had been, we had shelter fever. So we just got in the car and we drove as far up the coast as we could and then turned around and drove back. And it was really life-giving to us just to do that. But you can't just, you know, you have to take control of this, because if you don't, it'll take control of you.
No, I think that's such a word of wisdom that when we don't have a schedule or we don't plan, then it's just, it's very easy to get discouraged. I just wonder, what do you hope that when readers have finished reading Shelter in God, what do you hope that they take from this book?
Well, you know, we're hearing a lot of people say today, Sheila, that, oh, nothing like this has ever happened. Nobody's ever gone through anything like this before. Oh, yes, they have. Yeah. When you read the things that David experienced and then you read what he wrote when he was going through those things, mm-hmm. you'll discover that you have a friend in the Psalms you didn't know you had before. Here's what I've learned about the Psalms that are so critical for us. The Psalms are, it's a hymn book, obviously. It's the hymns of the Old Testament written primarily by David. But it's more than a hymn book. It's a journal. And the thing about the Psalms that make them really come alive, as you know from reading some of the chapters, is when you can take the history of what's going on in David's life and then take the Psalm that he wrote and put it in the right place, you can see what he was going through when he wrote what he wrote. And what you discover is that David is very honest about his problems. I know a lot of people say, well, why should I tell God my problems? He already knows what they are. But God tells us to cast our burdens on him, and there's a reason for that. When we spell out to him in technicolor what's going on in our heart, first of all, we become very specific, it's very healing, and it's very biblical because that's what David did. When you read the Psalms, he doesn't try to hide the issues he's going through. He makes them very, very available to all of his readers, and then you can watch him work through his problems. And he comes, somebody once told me, every psalm starts with a sigh and it ends with a song, and that's true. That's pretty much the way it is.
Actually, no, I love everything you write, but I cannot tell you how I've been helped by this particular book, Shelter in God, simply because you help us see what was going on in David's life. And it makes the psalm, I mean, I'll never read Psalm 46 again the same way, Psalm 120. I mean, it's just, you give context, and it just gives great encouragement. And so I'm going to let our viewers know how they can get hold of their own copy of this book and get one for a friend. But one of the things we're very passionate about here at Life Today is putting, as you've talked about with feeding your community, we want to put hands and feet to our faith. And so our commitment this year is that we're going to drill 350 water wells around the world. We've already been able to put in 200. We've still got 150 water wells to go. And so that's something we're about to show a video to our viewers of one of our trips to Africa and the difference that they can make. And then we'll come back, Dr. Jeremiah, let people know how to get your book and say goodbye to you. So I'm just going to ask our viewers to watch this.
That's great.
In the driest regions of Africa, there's often only one place to find water, deep underground. So deep, in fact, that it takes two people a full week of digging to reach it. Well, despite their efforts, these hand-dug wells aren't deep enough, and the water remains unclean, causing widespread illness from waterborne diseases. And recently, we learned of another danger we did not expect.
Wamputeka mashukumukano. Rusa mutekasamukano. Namba mara ndeya kumukaro kosa pachino wa kuri.
It's an unimaginable tragedy, a mother's worst nightmare. And yet, the reality surrounding Mercy and her family, the utter lack of safe water sources, demands that they live with the risk.
I don't want one more mother to go through, you know, what Mercy has gone through. But this is something that you and I can do something about. This did not need to happen. And that's why we're here. She's not asking for a lot. She's just looking for a place to send her children to actually get, for the first time in their lives, clean water. I will never, as long as I live, forget Mercy. You know, when she first spoke to us about the horror, I mean, I can't imagine. You know, your child has gone out for something simple. I'm going to get some water. And they don't come back, and they don't come back. And something in your gut as a mom knows something's wrong. And so you walk to that well, and there's a bucket, and she looked in, and there's her precious little girl drowned. I asked Mercy, you know, where her daughter was buried, and she said it was fairly close to the village. And I asked if she'd been back there since she buried her daughter, and she said, no, it's overwhelming. And we talked for a while, and then she gave me this amazing privilege. She said, would you walk with me to where my daughter's buried? And I'll never forget that walk. I mean, Janice, who takes all our photographs, was with us. And I mean, at one point, we literally had to hold Mercy up because the closer she got to that little mound, it was just overwhelming. And I knelt with her there and we wept together. That should never happen to another mother. One of the things that Mercy said was, if from this devastating tragedy of losing my daughter, if somehow you get the word back and we're able to get a well, no other mother will have to go through this. You have been really faithful. I'm so great. James and Betty, so grateful for the way you've helped us in the past. But the need is great right at the moment. I know you have your own worries and your own concerns. You know, many things are difficult in life. But can you imagine what it would be like to, A, lose a child through them falling into a well, but B, knowing that there's as great a chance that that very water would take their life. We had, our commitment for this year was 350 wells. You've helped us put in 200 wells. Thank you. But we've still got 150 to go. We want to meet our commitment to the people on the ground who are trusting us. And if you give more, we'll put more wells in. So here's how you can help. $48 will give clean water to 10 people for their life. Some of you could do 140, maybe you're a Sunday school class, do it together. $144 would give clean water for 30 people, for life. And if you're able to, maybe you own a business and God has blessed you, $4,800 would put a well in a village that would give 1,000 people clean water for their life. They're not asking for a lot. Would you please go to the phone, dial that number. Go online, give the very best gift possible. Let's give life, and let's give it in Jesus' name.
Dirty, disease-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, this is their only choice. With your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish the final 150 water wells this year. Your gift of $48 will help provide water for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15. $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. And a gift of $4,800 will help sponsor a complete well, serving up to 1,000 people. With your gift, we'll send you Today is a Good Day seasonal devotional set. Broken out into the four seasons of the year, this beautiful set features a daily scripture, inspirational thoughts, and a place for you to journal your own thoughts, prayers, and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, request the leather-bound, life-giving Proverbs Journal, filled with wisdom and daily encouragement from Proverbs, including lined pages for your personal notes. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request a Mother's Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I travel all over the world as the Director of Missions for Life Today. I continue to hear some of the same stories. Death. Why? Simply because they don't have clean drinking water. These mothers who wanted to give life to her children. She wanted to bring health to her family by bringing water home. But she ends up bringing contaminated water, if she can find any. And it brings death to her children. None of us would ever want to bring death into our living room. But that's what these mothers did. They didn't want to do that. They didn't mean to do that. But either they can't find water, or the water they do have is so contaminated, it just brings disease and even to the point of death. So please help us bring clean water. Let's drill some wells that'll give these villages and these people water for the rest of their lives. Clean, life-giving water. Please help us today.
Thank you so much for watching that video. Thank you for calling in. If the lines are busy, please keep calling. These people are not asking for a lot. They just want to be able to give their children clean water. It makes such a difference. And for any gift at all, we will be thrilled to send you Dr. David Jeremiah's new book, Shelter in God, Your Refuge in Times of Trouble. It's honestly, I think it's one of the best things you've ever written, Dr. J. And I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for studying the Word of God throughout your whole life and for breaking it open to those of us who are hungry to know God more. We're so grateful to you.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity to point people to what I know is the best news there is in any time, even in times like this, and that's the unchanging Word of God.
Amen. Well, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Before his recent death, Ravi Zacharias challenged us to let our light shine and penetrate the darkness of a world in chaos. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.